Do you guys ever get weird cravings?
What, are you pregnant?
I just really want a pickle.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday. Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Today, we're going to welcome Amanda Barrick to the show. Amanda Barrick is an American folk musician and spoken word artist. Her live performances are emotive, intimate, and powerful. As a singer-songwriter, she lends her voice to expressing truths with an evocative storytelling style through music and poetry. She is also the daughter of Linda Stay, a previous guest of ours that has left an indelible mark on each one of us here on the show with her story. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and as always, I'm here with my amazing co-hosts. We've got more people in the studio, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
it's Elsie.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Oh, my God. Wow. Look at that. See, the key is to be all together in a room so that you don't hear the dish. The dish.
We do that purposely, Tommy. Come
I know. So either way, we're happy to be here bringing you. We've got an amazing show.
Can I just say that, like, you nailed that opener. I mean, there were some big words in there.
I know. So I'm not going to lie. I was upstairs in the bathroom practicing and saying it over and over
sounding
and over again.
Sounding out your words.
Exactly. Indelible.
Indelible.
Evocative. Emotive. I am really proud of you.
All four syllables.
Because you got to understand, I am Latino, so I think in like two different languages. So when I'm looking to say something, I'm really thinking in two different, you know.
And it's really, really tough for us because I'm also, you know,
she's a Latina too.
ESL speaker. Mm-hmm. It's also difficult when the words are so similar, when they have the same root in
that's
English
right.
and Spanish, because you're like, in the leble? Yeah, that sounds right.
But either way, you know, it's like practice makes perfect. And so I just kept trying and going and going until, you know, you finally get it. But no, I'm excited for today's guest. We were listening to some of her stuff earlier today. Uh-huh. And oh, my God, it's amazing. And not to mention the fact that she's also the daughter of a woman that left such a mark on each one of us here. Right. Her story, her journey to accepting her children and seeing those kids become amazing, beautiful human beings. So talented.
This is truly. Actually the fifth guest that Linda has brought to us.
Yes.
Yeah, because we had Mama Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Dragon Dads.
Dragon Dads.
That's right.
Bobby Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Her, and now her daughter.
And it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, if you don't remember, you can go back in our archives and look up the episode with Linda Stay. It was a very powerful story.
Did I cry?
We all cried.
Yeah.
We were all a mess. So Linda Stay was, she was a member of the Mormon faith, and she had to make a decision to love her children or stay within her faith as a result of how they feel about LGBTQ peoples. And she chose right. She chose her kids, and she was forever changed for it. It was an amazing, beautiful story, and we're super excited that we get to have the progeny on the show. Look at that, another word.
Listen.
I'm on a roll.
You gotta shut her down.
And it's not even Sunday.
So, yeah, we're super excited to say the least. So we've got some stuff, some stories that we want to talk about, but I just want to open the mic up to my two guests here so they can tell us how they've been doing. I'm going to start off with Elsie because you haven't been in studio for a while. So, Elsie, how are you, my dear?
I'm great. Remember how that's my standard answer? Healthy,
yeah.
Working. I'm great. Rough couple of weeks, but I'm great.
Well, that's good. And everyone in the family's good.
Everyone in the family is good. You know, my parents gave me that scare a couple of weeks ago. I just want to trade them in. It's like, I want new ones.
Seems easier,
I don't think
right?
that's how it works. Like,
I don't think so either, because I've looked. My mom's new thing is every time she comes up here, we end up in the ER. I had to take her to the ER last week because she was dehydrated. I'm like, here. Like, just, what are you doing?
Drink some water.
It's like Mariah Carey. Like, who goes into a hospital for exhaustion?
Exhaustion. I was like, you are not exhausted.
I'd be like, what can I get?
You do not have exhaustion money. Okay. So, let's come back. But everyone's great. So, you know, exciting new projects, blah, blah.
That's amazing. That's awesome. And Nick, my dear, how are you?
Yeah, no, it's been a bumpy couple of weeks, huh?
Yeah, I know. It has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, lost my job.
Yeah. We've been spending a lot of time together, and it's been a little crazy.
Yeah. But on the upside, I do have two job offers right now, and I didn't even apply for them. So that's pretty exciting. I'm actually really excited about the most recent one, and there's another opportunity that I'm going to follow up with as well. But on the downside, my grandma did pass away last week, and her funeral was this morning, or her virtual burial. It was so weird, and it was tough, and it would just suck that I couldn't be there. Yeah, she was pretty much the most amazing grandma anybody could ask for, so yeah. It was pretty tough.
And I sympathize with you. You know, when I lost my grandmother in you know, last year, in February, it was hard. It's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, and then in the midst of all of this,
COVID,
not being able to
comfort each other,
comfort each other and say goodbye properly and really, you know, do what we consider is the normal mm-hmm. thing to do when someone passes and be with your family and share with them. And it's a really hard thing. And your grandmother did not pass away from COVID.
No, she didn't. No.
And so, but as a result of the regulations and some of the things that are in place because of COVID, you couldn't get together with your family.
Yeah. And I wouldn't at this point, because my family is in Florida, I would not be going down there.
So
in any stretch of the word, but you know, it was, even though it was like this weird streaming ceremony, it was nice and there was some type of closure for me, which is something that I needed, you know what I mean? And also, like, what I think the hardest part for me was, I don't know how or why this happened, but I've become like the rock of my family in some ways. And like my brother, you know, he had a serious emotional breakdown. And he was on the phone. I was on the phone with him for like, you know, hours. And then my father's trying to be strong. And then he broke down. And throughout the whole thing, and I think a lot of it has to do with my history with death and, you know, losing Matt at such a young age. Like, I'm totally emoting and like going through everything that I need to go through. But it's like, I just feel like some people deal with death in a different way. They don't deal with it as well as I guess I do, because I've had to deal with it from such a young age.
Well, I think that some people also know or have an innate ability to be strong when other people need them to be. Mm-hmm. Go back to that TED Talk that we always constantly mention about. There's a reason why you're here. And, you know, and so, for example, like you, when my grandmother passed away, I couldn't be that messy person in the room.
No, you weren't.
I had to be the person that was, you know, comforting everybody. And I think I made like, what, like 15 pots of coffee that night while we were waiting for things to sort of kind of mm-hmm. play out. And it's really interesting. But then when you have a moment and you're by yourself, you do what you have to do, mm-hmm. right?
And, you know, it sucks. And like this year has like sort of been horrible, and by sort of I mean terrible. 2020 needs to like reset. But there's something like, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going with this, but like, as a 33 year old man, not a lot of people get to have their grandma in their life for 33 years.
Yeah.
And so there's something so beautiful and something so, I feel so lucky to have experienced that beautiful, strong woman and had her in my life for such a long period of time. A lot of people don't even have their grandparents in their life.
That's
and
right.
I had the opportunity to have her in my life for so long. So I feel lucky in a way. And it's super sad that she's gone, but you know, her memory lives on and I love her so much. Actually, I'm going to tell one funny story.
Go ahead.
And then we can move on. So one of my weirdest and favorite memories about my grandmother. So I was really young, and my brother and sister were the ring bearer and the flower girl for my uncle's wedding, but I was too young to go. So I stayed at my grandparents' house in upstate New York. And my grandpa at the time, and I didn't know this, liked to sleep in the nude.
Yikes. Yay, grandpa.
So, I mean, like, go Rosie, get it. But there was a thunderstorm going on. I was also in a new place, like having a hard time sleeping. And I heard my grandpa get up because he would always get up in the middle of the night and go get a snack from the fridge. Like, of course. That's like his thing. He would always of do course. It.
Oh, my God.
And so I get out of bed and I'm like, I'm going to go talk to grandpa because I can't sleep, whatever. And I go into the kitchen and he's stark naked. And I just start screaming like a little schoolgirl because, you know, that's what you do. And then my grandma comes out. She's like, Johnny, I told you to put on some goddamn clothes. You have to wear clothes when the kids are here. God damn it, Johnny. And it was just like, and I'm just like sitting in my room like, oh, my God.
That is hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love sleeping nude, too. It's like,
I
you know.
I do, too. I don't it's have the best. Pajamas.
And it's like, why would you?
Like, when my friends come over, it's like a whole thing because I have to find a t-shirt and
it's exhausting.
You have to put on clothes because you have company.
Yes, because it's like 15 of them and they like bring their blow up mattresses and then it's like everybody's in the kitchen floor and the living room floor and they're fighting over who gets to be on my bed. And I'm like, none of you do, but I guess I'll still wear clothes though.
You got to be like me. Like, ask Nick. I can't tell you how many times I've been out in the front of my house in just my like boxer underwears and a tank top. And my neighbor comes over. She always crosses the street and comes over. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if she notices that I'm in my underwear right now.
Why do you think she comes over?
Who was it? Who was it that was over the other day that was like, oh, you're wearing boxers? Was that Steve?
Well, that was rude.
Steve?
Well, no, somebody was here and I was like, can't you tell? He's just wearing boxers. Like, and he was like, oh, that's just your underwear?
Yeah.
Who was
no,
that?
So my neighbor, she comes over all the time. You know, I love her. She's sweet. She's always bringing me sweet stuff. She loves to bake and cook, and she's an amazing Italian cook. I'll tell you right now. She's an Italian woman. She lives across the street from me. And so she's always bringing me stuff, and she, like, comes over and walks over with some, like, radishes or something that she picked out of the garden. And half the time, if I'm in the front of my house, I'm in a tank top and my underwear. And I don't care because I'm covered, right? I mean,
right.
You see people wearing less at a beach. I mean, they're right. So don't give me that whole, you know, well, right. You should put some shorts on. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Some of these people on the beach have no business wearing what they wear on the beach, and but they wear it anyway.
My girlfriend was visiting last weekend from Atlanta, and she just does not wear clothes. And I don't get it. Like, she was brought up in a church, Seventh-day Adventist, so super ultra conservative. And, like, she grew up, hit 30, and she's, like, naked. You know, naked. And so she gets out of the shower, and she's in her towel, and I was like, find a goddamn t-shirt. Find a goddamn t-shirt, because if I grab your boob at night, it's going to be your fault. You asked for it. That's all I'm going to say to you. You asked for it.
So you were mentioning that, you know, 2020 was a very tough year, and all I can say is come 12/31/2020. At 11:59 p.m., # 57 seconds into the freaking hour. When the clock strikes midnight, I feel like we should all yell Jumanji instead of Happy New Year.
No, yeah. We're
so
like
that all the
up.
Shit can end. So all of it can end, right? Because at the end of the Jumanji game, everything ends when you yell Jumanji. Seriously.
I like that.
It's been a crazy year. So I think if the bars are open by then, and we're at the bar, I swear to God, if it has to take me an hour and a half to
not
walk
Happy
around.
Happy New Year. Jumanji!
Exactly. I'm going to walk around the entire bar, and I'm going to coerce everyone into saying Jumanji at 12 o'clock midnight into 2021.
I'm down.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm going to record it.
And of course, that's going to be the start of the second wave.
Oh my God. Let's not even walk down that path.
All right, well, listen, we've got a couple of stories before we have to bring our guest in. I want to go all the way to the state of Pennsylvania, one of my favorite politicians there. His name is Brian Sims. He's a Democrat he's a representative for the state of Pennsylvania. He's made national news on several occasions. He's a very outspoken gay man who has a very choice of vocabulary when it comes to describing certain things and things that are important to him. Well, so he made national news again. This news basically, as a result of something that he was called while he was on the floor of the House of Representatives in the state of Pennsylvania. So he posted a Facebook video laced and literally profanity everywhere. I love this man to death. And because while he was on the floor, he found out that one of his fellow colleagues had tested positive for COVID-19, a Republican member of that house, and several other Republicans who had contact with this colleague all attended a meeting without wearing masks and potentially exposed a lot of people to the possibility of now having to wonder whether or not they are COVID-19 positive. And so he posted this long tirade video on Facebook. He is amazing. He really honestly is a truly amazing guy and very handsome. Uh-huh. But he also has a mouth. And so when he was actually talking on the floor, one of the Republican representatives literally on the floor yelled while he was talking the fact that he was such a little girl.
And are you fucking kidding me?
No.
What do you know what did that?
I don't. Well, let's find out and see if we know the rep. So, Jerry Knowles, Rep. Yep. Jerry Knowles, Republican, called him a little girl during a speech, yelling it across the chamber while Sims was speaking with a rainbow mask over his mouth, which he had pulled down so that he would be able to address the chamber. And you start saying to yourself, how bad is it when you can't even be in a chamber in where lawmakers pass laws for the general public, for people, and you have stuff like this happen? It's pretty crazy. What would you do if you were a representative and someone shouted little boy at you from across the way? I would have lost my shit.
Where do I even start with that? Fuck you mean, little girl? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. Like, yeah, no.
And he's
like, how do you even address that? Because you're so grown up behaving like this?
I would have popped my hip and been like, shut the fuck up, reclaiming my time, you old white bastard, and moved on to my point. Like, I would have lost it.
It's really crazy that we're living in, like, I know that politics can get pretty crazy, but when you're in a chamber it is the chamber for that state to pass laws, to move legislation through that supports and help the people, and you have representatives acting this way, it says a lot about the temperature of the country and how crazy this Jumanji game is.
Yeah, I've lost my ability to even react anymore.
Isn't it? Wait, hold on. He's also a representative of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they both are. They're both state reps.
Oh, my God. So did you see the Twitter? I'm sorry, Elsie. I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you see? So another person, Tyler Picone. Hey, at Brian Sims PA. I've got your six. So does the amazing team of talented women helping me run against at Rep Knowles. Rachel, Heather, Jess, Alyssa, my badass army wife, Carrie, and many more. No more running unopposed and consequence-free for Representative Knowles. Leadership matters. Like, way to call that motherfucker out. I got your six, bitch.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, so Rep Sims, he is advocating for more women to join, you know, politics and come into the legislation, into the legislative body so that they could, you know, push an agenda that really serves what we need right now, which is more representation for women in politics so that we can make an indelible change for, you know, the movement of, for example, I mean, we have a decision right now from the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and where now religious entities can actually decide whether or not you are entitled to contraceptive, which is, to me, asinine, right? And so the work that he's doing is important, and all I can say is this. He's literally becoming one of my favorite local politicians from any state, and I feel that he needs to run for national office because he would be amazing in the House of Representatives or even as a senator. Is he single? I don't know if he's single. I don't know who he is or where he's from. I do know who he is. But if there's a snowstorm tonight, he's going on my tire. Yes, go ahead. You have questions?
We could sidebar that.
Okay. So that is it for me. I
can be a representative's wife. Hello.
Of course, honey.
I feel like you would need to be locked in a closet.
Well, I would need to lose about 15 pounds.
Mm. No, you don't.
No.
I want to,
but I would have to wear my Spanx, and I don't want.
I totally want to buy you a mirror because I don't think you have any recollection of how pretty you are.
Yeah, but that's beside the point. You could roll me down a hill right now.
That just means there's more of you to look at.
Well, thank you, Elsie.
You two are too much. So, Nick, you have a story here?
Yeah, actually, it's just kind of like more of a quick comment because, so obviously, I went to spend some time with my brother this past week. And my brother and his fiance, Lindsay, who I love, they watched Boy Erased, which we've talked about on the show before. Mm-hmm. It's about conversion therapy and about a pastor and a wife dealing with their gay son who the pastor wants him, right, you know, to go through conversion therapy. The mother finally stands up for her child. Kind of just like it's a really powerful movie. Anyway, Chris and my soon-to-be sister-in-law watched it this weekend, and they were, like, blown away by it. They were just blown away. They were like, that was such a powerful movie. I didn't realize that that was still a thing or a problem. And we actually had a healthy, weird conversation about it, because I don't really have conversations like that with my brother. Mm-hmm. But as we were getting older, we've been having more and more conversations. But it felt good to talk to somebody, my brother, who has for so long, I think, not tried, not that he didn't support, but not tried to educate himself.
Yeah.
And the fact that he went ahead and watched that movie really struck a chord with me. And the fact that he got something from it means so much to me. And then Mama Kim had sent us an article about how there are some celebrities in the UK that are calling for, the United Kingdom conversion therapy ban. And they, you know, are banding together, wrote a letter to Parliament and all of that stuff. And it was just a really powerful experience for me. And then that kind of triggered that memory for me. And I was like, we should talk about it. But yeah, no, that's really what I had to say. You know, more power to everybody that is, what is it? Elton John, of course. Well, my Elton John. Mm-hmm. Dua Lipa, Monroe Bergdorf, Stephen Fry, and some other people are writing an open letter to demanding the immediate ban of the barbaric practice of what is conversion therapy in the United Kingdom.
It's also now illegal because you guys might not remember, but last year I brought this up. The WHO actually removed sexual preference from the list of mental illnesses, which means there is no treatment, and so you shouldn't be torturing children because of their sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. It's not, it could be, and it was just until recently, which was shocking in and of itself, but it was a big, big deal, and we talked about it briefly on the show. They removed it from the list of mental illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Along with transgender. Right. Being.
But it's still not banned in all of the states. You know,
that's but that's actually illegal that they haven't stopped the practices because it's no longer considered by the health organization as a mental illness. What the fuck are you treating?
Well, it's only a matter of time. I mean, we have numerous states right now that are signed on that have blocked conversion therapy.
There are a
therapy.
Few that actually dropped and banned it, like right after that came out.
What blows my mind is they're doing it for minors. Like, so anyone under the age of 18 can't be forcefully put into a program. But if you're over 18, you can choose to do it. And here I am, like, I just think it needs to disappear altogether. And instead of conversion therapy, we need to provide resources so that people can embrace who they are and embrace themselves and understand it better.
Because you're assuming that the rest of the world is there where they stop being fucking irrational assholes.
No, I definitely don't think that way.
He's adorable. He just makes me want to hug him.
I don't think that people are ever going to stop being irrational assholes. No. I think that there are going to be families and kids that are, you know, going to go through shit like this. Whether it's, whether it's a hidden thing and it's illegal and they're putting their kids in these fucking camps, whatever.
Which you know will happen.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I just think that, if you're going to ban it, it should be banned. It shouldn't be, like, optional.
Right.
Like, if you're over 18 and you decide you don't want to be gay anymore, why don't you sign up for this program? It doesn't work like that.
Can you imagine saying that to a kid that turned 18 and can now make that choice, who has gone through this her entire life, feeling like they've disappointed everyone that they loved? And so now they have, in fact, come to believe that there is something wrong with them, and they want to be, quote unquote, better for their loved ones.
Right.
And they'll submit themselves to such atrocities.
Yeah.
For the sake of being loved by their family. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I have to say about that is I can't. That's exactly where my brain was at. It's like, if you are growing up in an environment that says, no, this is wrong your entire life, of course you're going to say, all right, well, I want to be loved by my family, and I'm going to sign up for this because I want to change my life. But the reality is, it's not going to work. And if your family is like that, get the fuck out. They don't love you. You don't need to have them a part of your life. And if they can't realize that you are beautiful and perfect all on your own without having to change who you are. I mean, even when we talk about relationships, you don't want to change anybody. You want to meet people where they're at. You want to love them for who they are.
Right. But that's a more, even more of a complex theme for me, because your sexuality is not who the fuck you are.
No,
your set of values is who you are. You know what I mean? No, I get your point.
If that is what your family is putting on you, and it's your sexuality isn't who you are, but it is a part of who you are, right? And if your family is making you feel bad about the fact that that is a part of you, then they don't actually give a fuck about you. They give a fuck about their appearances. They give a fuck about what other people think. They give a fuck about what their parents think, what their neighbors think. They don't care about what you think or what you want or where you're going in life. They just want you to be the fucking mold. And you're not the mold.
Mm-hmm.
We break the mold every day. That's, you know, right. Women break the mold every day. Gay men, lesbians, transgender people. We break the mold every day to make our society a better and more vibrant place.
That's right. So here's what I got to say about this. It is wrong. Conversion therapy is wrong all around. It needs to be abolished. It needs to go away. But to parents out there, if you want any more proof that love, true, unbounded love, is what makes everything okay, love your children for who they authentically are. If you want proof of that, we're going to talk to someone who's gone through that. Their parents, their mother, had to make that hard choice: love my kids or love my church. And in the end, she made the right decision. She's a better woman for it. Her kids are flourishing. Her children flourished as a result of it. It is a beautiful thing to love your child, regardless of who they end up being, because in the end, it makes a better human being for you as a parent to allow your children to become who they truly should be, and just support them in any way that you can, and hope that what you taught them at home keeps them out of trouble. Loving someone is not trouble. Loving a man, if you're a man, is not trouble. Loving a woman, if you're a woman, is not trouble. If you're asexual and you want to love
yourself,
either or bisexual or whatever you want to be, when you love someone, love always wins. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of proof of that, and I'm super excited. I know that we've went a little long. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to see proof of what love is capable of doing. And so with that, I'm going to leave you all with some music, and when we come back, our guest.
Tomorrow's hopes are in my eyes. Paints horizons in the sky that's meant for me, meant for me. Ready now to face the day. Done with fears of yesterday. Waited long enough to say I'm on the way. I'm on the way. I believe. Believe.
Welcome back from the break, ladies and gentlemen. That was Believe by Going Deeper, featuring Davis Mallory, of course, a previous guest of ours. Today's going to be the episode in where we highlight a lot of previous guests that we've had on the show. Speaking of that, a few years ago, we were blessed to have on our show Linda Stay. She is a woman who literally left us crying with a powerful story of choosing love and her children over faith and the Mormon Church. Today, we welcome one of her children who inspired that amazing journey. Today, we're going to welcome Amanda Barrick. She is an American folk musician and a spoken word artist. Her live performances are emotive, intimate, and powerful. As a singer-songwriter, she lends her voice to expressing truths with an evocative storytelling style through music and poetry. She's got a new album coming out. I think actually it already came out, right?
No, right? The 31st.
Nope. It's coming out on 31st, and she's here to tell us all about it. We're super excited to have you on the show. Welcome, Amanda, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. I could not be happier to be here with you guys.
It is.
Wow, your audio is amazing.
I know, and video.
I was going to say, do I need to turn down or my sound?
We're good? You sound great.
Do we sound good on your end?
You guys sound lovely.
Then we are amazing. So before we get started, we'd like to all introduce ourselves. So I'm going to let him go first.
I'm Nick, but I also go by Trish on the show.
So it's a thing.
Okay.
And my name is Tom.
Tom.
I'm Elsira, but I also go by Elsie on the show and everywhere else in life.
Elsie, okay.
And Chris couldn't join us today, but, you know, he does send his regards and he'll probably be with us next week. So thank you for joining us. And how are
you? Absolutely. I'm wonderful. I am super, super excited, really busy. As you mentioned, I've got a debut album coming out, so I'm just figuring out how to promote it, how to get it in front of as many ears and eyes as possible. And then just staying safe in my little bunker. I'm in Southern Utah, and so not many people are quarantining, but I have the I'm doing it.
Well, that's amazing because as we all know, for those who aren't, there's a lot of stuff happening in states like Texas, Florida, California has seen a big resurgence in COVID-19 cases. And so it is important to, one, take the initiative to keep ourselves safe. So big ups to you because that's amazing.
Thank you much. I recognize it as a bit of a privilege that I get to do that, but I'm in the space to do it. Fortunately, just kind of the timing with making this album, I was set to go into the studio in March. That's right when everything hit and shut down. But we were able to get it recorded and to get it produced and mastered, and then just decided to go ahead and release it because I'm so stoked on it.
That's amazing.
So tell me a little. So you right now, you can actually kind of, you can pre-order the album, but you could also hear a few songs for free. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Bandcamp, which is a really cool platform designed for independent artists, they set it up where you can do a pre-order. So I've designated 5 tracks that if you pre-order the album now, you have access to those 5 tracks, which is half the album. It's a 10-track album. So you have access there, and you can actually, through Bandcamp, you can preview all of the songs right now. So I might take that down like next week to build up some anticipation, mm-hmm. but I'm not quite sure. As it stands, again, like independent artist to the like max. So I'm just troubleshooting and trial and error and figuring it all out as I go and asking for help along the way. And, you know, and so many wonderful people are stepping up to support me. It's just overwhelming. So I'm just like, yay.
So this is a body of work that spans more than 20 years of your work and of your efforts. And tell us a little bit about the journey of going through deciding what was going to end up in your finished product.
So exactly. There's a song on the album called Summer Solstice that I wrote at like 19 when I was first like baby gay, figuring out all the things. And I never like, my mom always gives me a hard time because whenever we sit down for a family jam, she's like, play Summer Solstice, play my old stuff. I have a song called Swan Dive that like I will not play for people because it's just like so tragically, emotionally like not where it needs to be. But anyway, so I launched an Indiegogo campaign last year to get the funds to do the album. Because I was in school and working as a bartender, just, you know, making barely the bills were barely covered. And so my friend was like, let's launch a campaign, let's go all out, raise the money. Did that. And so I had the money to go in and make the album. And then that was a beautiful process of being like, what is it that I want to say now that I finally can say all of these things over all these years? And truthfully, like, I don't have a huge body of work. So like I picked out the songs that I was like, no, they just can't hack it. And then I found the songs that I felt were really important. And then I revamped them a little bit, finished some, wrote some new ones. But yeah, the older songs, I felt like they just needed like a little touch up, a little shine. And it was interesting, like coming back and listening to the song as a 30, I'm 37. So like listening to it all these years later, and like, instead of it being cheesy and emotional and like in all the wrong places, now it just feels so tender and like mm-hmm. really beautiful. And I believe in the message still. So I'm just like, get over yourself, share it. You know what I mean? So, and then there's songs that, you know, I just finished in the last couple of years, and there's some spoken word pieces. That's a big part of my artistry that that I just love, because I've been so affected by Andrea Gibson is my favorite spoken word poet. And so I want to incorporate that as well into my art. So
spoken word is not as celebrated as it should be in general.
Agreed.
I've worked with a lot of artists that do it, especially locally in Connecticut. And it's just, mm-hmm. it blows your mind. And for all of our listeners that don't know what the purpose is or what it is, can you give a little bit of background as to what spoken word actually is?
Oh, man. I can tell you what it is for me. Spoken word is like writing, having a piece and then feeling so attached and connected to it that you physically have to like let it come through you and out your mouth. That's spoken word. So it's, to me, like believing and feeling so connected to that piece that you want to physically have it come through your body and deliver it.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you're so right though, because like every time I see somebody perform it, it's like, it's not just about the words. It's like a physical experience. They're embodying the words and expressing not only this like amazing performance, but like you just feel their body feeling what they believe in.
And that to me is like what is so attractive about it and appealing is that extra, you know, I can read something that's beautiful that somebody has written, but then to have them recite it in their words and their pentameter and where they rise and fall on certain words I'm like very auditory. I love to hear things as well. So maybe that's a part of it, mm-hmm. is like hearing the words as well, that emotional connection. So yeah, that's it. I don't like, I don't know the origins and stuff, but,
but also,
I know exactly what you say. Oh, so go ahead.
I'm sorry. But also, it usually conveys so much passion that adding an actual melody to it actually takes away from what you're trying to express. And the passion in your voice, the cadence in your voice as you express these feelings in your own words is enough to convey the emotions, and you don't need music.
Yeah.
It's how I feel about spoken word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And on this, on my album, I did write music and I have my pieces laid over music. And I feel that it adds another depth to it in a way. But yeah, I mean, there's both sides of fences, and yeah, Everybody gets to sit wherever.
And it's an amazing thing to see actually come to fruition and have someone stand on a stage and actually do it. Right. Because when you think about most spoken word artists, the majority of them are musicians. You think of people like, for example, Lauryn Hill is amazing at being mm-hmm. an amazing singer, but also doing spoken stuff. Like, she does spoken mm-hmm. word presentations often, and she's very provocative. And you're right. When you're looking at people do spoken word, they're putting their whole body into it, hand motions and face gestures. It's almost like if you're acting, but you're not, right? Because people would perceive yeah. that as you acting, but you are really emoting your feelings and letting them yeah. know that all of this I had inside of me, and I have to put it out there for the world so that you can be impacted by how awesome it is.
Not to take it in a crass direction, but it's like having sex with words. It's like you feel it so yes. so deeply that you're like your relationship to those words, you are feeling it, and you are like giving it like this like intimacy that a lot of people wouldn't then understand if you didn't feel it in your body the way that spoken word does. But
absolutely.
But my question, so let's go back to the album. So Wasteland. Mm-hmm. So the album is called Wastelands. You have a yes. title track on the album called Wastelands. Tell us a little bit about what is the feel of this album? What are you trying to convey, and why is that the title track?
So the feel of the album, again, because the songs kind of are all over the spectrum of time and chapters of my life, they do sound different, but the underlying theme is just kind of like staking your own place and your own space in this world, and taking up space and finding your voice, and then having, you know, the courage to stand in that and be of use to the world. And Wastelands was written years ago with my best friend Tyson Wheeler. And it was right after 9/11 and like the Patriot Act and Bush pushing through all these policies that we were just like, and that was kind of before like the internet took over and nobody really cared about privacy anymore. Like, now we're just like click and we're like, no problem. I know you're watching. But it seemed like back in the day we were a little bit more like, you can't get in on this private talk. So yeah, that the Wastelands talks about how there's a group of powerful elite people in our country, and they take whatever they want. There's no apology for it. And then we, on the flip side, we call that an American ideal. We almost like epitomize it. You know what I mean? And so the chorus to the song is, don't forget the whiskey, don't forget your history. It was never their land to sell or trade. And it kind of goes throughout of these different stories. And yeah, so that I love the audio for that as well. It's kind of got this like Jolene, Dolly Parton backbeat yes. just rolling on you. It's just like, you know, mm-hmm. it's got like, you know, and yeah, so I love that. And just in, as I decided to release the album, just in this kind of like, this is my first pandemic. I don't know about you guys, but like this whole pandemic apocalyptic, like what the fuck is going on? All of it. It just felt more and more like the Wastelands. And the song too has references to the Dark Tower series, which is Stephen King's, one of his series that my friend and I, we just loved. And so the Wastelands is this place where it's like they go. And so there's a lyric like, I'll meet you at the Wastelands mm-hmm. where we can change our names. And, cause they know our names, they're coming for us.
Right.
And so it just seemed so like, so apropos with everything, like, that's just kind of the political climate of what's going on. I thought of wanting another album name, just be like, what's my debut album going to be? And it just kind of organically, naturally came that like, no, I want to call this is Wastelands.
That's actually really, really beautiful in a weird kind of stark, dark way. But that's kind of how we were talking about it earlier, how 2020 just kind of feels like this mess. Like, you know, anything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And every month brings something else.
Something else. Yeah.
And the thing is, we will come back from it. And, you know, everything will be OK, hopefully, again, sometime soon. And hopefully we'll get that fucking Cittadini out of the White House.
Please, God.
And things will get better. So let's talk a little bit about the fact that you're obviously, this is a gay show. You're a lesbian.
Wait, what? This is a gay show?
Uh-huh. And your mom
your
mom tells me that you're like the biggest lesbian in town, which is amazing because I love lesbians. But
token gay of my town.
That's amazing. But can you tell me a little bit about like what this album does for the gay community? Like, what do you want it to convey for the gay community in general? Does it do that?
I mean, I think simply just being a queer artist, putting work out there, that is the confession. You know what I mean? That is what I'm trying to convey, is that there's a space for us and our voice. And I'm very like, I was having this conversation with my girlfriend the other day. I had this lyric and it's like the queer kids on the block. And I'm at this point in my artistry where I'm like, do I want to just like, that's what naturally comes for me when I'm writing, you know, the pronouns that match. And I want to be all inclusive and I want my music to reach tons of people. But at the same time, I'm like, no, that's just who I am. I write specifically like my poems are queer love poems. You know, they're love poems, but they're queer love poems. My songs are queer. So, yeah, it's like it oozes out of me. I can't help it.
But that's kind of amazing.
And though, I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's amazing to be a queer artist and be there are a lot of queer artists that aren't as open and out about their work and who they are. And yeah, you not only providing this pool of music and work, but you're providing like a platform for people that are lesbians or are gay or a part of the LGBTQ plus community that says, I can do it, too, you know.
And I, you know, they talk about imposter syndrome and I've gone through a lot of like, who am I, you know, who am I to write music and poems and like, what do I have to say? And I'm just like, fuck that. Who is anybody? Why would I like take away my own shot? I would give it to somebody else, you know? So, it's been a process. Like, you know, I've been writing songs for years and it's just within the last two that I'm like, I feel it growing inside of me that it's like, this is what I want. Yeah. And if I can't invest in myself, and if I can't give myself that opportunity, then like, what am I doing here? You know what I mean? So,
please go ahead.
And I just feel that like my stories and my songs, they're completely representative of like what it is to be a young queer kid growing up in a religious, you know, atmosphere. And so I do hope ultimately like that the words and the message that they reach people and that it's okay to be who you are. Obviously it's 100% to accept and love every part of you. I was listening to a little bit earlier, you know, when we were talking about like your identity, your gender identity and, you know, your sexual orientation as parts of you. But for me, like it's such an intrinsic part of who I am that like, if you pull that piece out, other pieces don't make sense. You know what I mean? So, cause in Utah you get a lot like, you know, oh, I love you, but you're gay. You know, I love who you are, but heaven, you know, I can't accept you. Bless your heart. You know, I'm going to love you, but like, I can't love that part of you. And I'm like, well, don't love me at all then. You know what I mean? Like, take it all or get the fuck out of my way.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I love that point. I kind of get beaten a lot over how I look at the struggle, right? And the things that the community goes through and the importance of normalizing the community because you are part of us. You're part of our, you know, you're a person just like I am, right? And I love that you're saying in answer to Nick, that it comes out because it's just part of who you are. And it's not that you're looking for a platform or you're trying to, you know, make us gay with your gay ass agenda in your lyrics. But this is just an expression of your own feelings, which happen to be queer, right?
Exactly.
But it's great for a kid to look at that. And we talk about this all the time on the show. Even if your message even if your songs didn't represent, because it takes self-discovery for us to be able to write about our who we are as a person. Like, who the fuck has figured that shit out? So that it takes a lot of self-discovery. And even if you had, if by the time you released this, you had not gotten to that, even if you were just writing songs and feelings and they were ambiguous, you are an openly gay person. And for a kid to see that and say, I could write a fucking song and it could be great.
An openly gay person in Utah.
In fucking Utah. And it doesn't have to be some, you know, I'm going to be in your face bullshit, because that is not what it is. Fucking straight people don't do it. And it takes us away from that conversation. You're like, oh, you know, her song, she has a lovely voice, but the gay thing. You know what I mean? Like, you're just an artist expressing your feelings, and your feelings happen to be for another chick. Yeah. And that's what comes out in your art. You know what I mean? And so for kids to see that, even if it wasn't a very strong message about the community, right? It's still a kid looking at you and like, oh my gosh, she fucking rocks. And she happens to be gay. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. And you know,
And in truth, like a lot, like with the album now, I've been performing a lot of more of my original stuff, and I haven't been doing gigs. Like, I don't want to be out. I'm going virtual, which is really cool because you can connect with people all over the world. But like just that idea of like when I'm out and about, like I sing cover songs all the time. Like my stepdad and I, we mostly do cover songs. So I'm not like singing all the, you know, I'm not like, oh, my girlfriend, I love her. Da, da, da.
I'm so gay
it's
for
cover
her.
Songs. And you know what I mean? And people just like, they just know. They're like,
and your mom is like your biggest fan, by the way.
But just the queer representation that was lacking in my, in my, you know, we had like, at like,
oh, she unplugged. Hello?
Nope.
We got nothing.
That's okay. It happens. It happens.
You know, what's interesting, what I would really, I think.
Sorry.
Okay. So go ahead. You were saying something.
I just knocked out my microphone.
That's okay. Sorry. It happens.
Actually, I wanted to kind of poke you a little bit about representation a little, because I don't feel as though there's enough representation for women in the LGBTQ plus community.
Right.
And I wanted to know how that impacts what you're putting out there, or does that impact you at all? I mean, I think that like gay men, they're so, you know, with Queer Eye, with all this stuff, we're so represented, but lesbians, I feel like continually get the short fucking end of the stick. And I think that that is something that's so important as to what you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about lesbians getting the short end of the stick. I think we've got a nice, nice end of the stick. But I feel you there. I mean, there is less. But like you find your subcultures. Like for me, of course, Ani DiFranco are in the early 90s. And then like Brandi Carlile right now. She is doing everything. That, like, she's every lesbian's like. Like if you're in the folk Americana world, it's just like Brandi Carlile all day. And now that she's gone mainstream and getting her accolades, it sends like such a strong positive message, because like she is so, you know, just unapologetically who she is and loved for it. So Brandi's great. I know, who else?
Ellen.
I would love to be a lesbian superstar, if that is the question.
Oh my God, I would love for you to be a lesbian superstar.
It would be amazing.
I know. I'm always like, I'm talking to my girlfriend. I'm like, babe, we're going to be so hot when I'm famous. She's like, awesome. I know, honey.
You so, remind me so much of my friend.
I'm like, you're so hot right now. Just saying. Oh my God. You guys were talking about not wearing pants. I'm like, my girlfriend doesn't wear pants, just panties around the house. I'm like, how did I get so lucky?
It's amazing. I'm like, it is one of the best things ever to just be free, right? And I'm telling you, I always wonder when my neighbor comes over and she's just like looks down nonchalantly and looks back up, and we're having a conversation, like what she thinks when she sees me in a tank top and underwear.
You know exactly what she thinks. Ooh, let me bring over some sweets.
Oh my God. Well, it's generally garden
and
items.
And then she does.
Oh my God. If she's listening, I'm going to get an earful next week.
Tom, do you think, she reminds me a lot of Meg.
I do think so. Like you.
So we had one of my good friends, Meg, she and her wife moved to P-Town recently, but she's been on our show a couple of times as a guest host. And I just like, I, for some reason, I, she's like a sister to me. Like, it's like I grew up with her. When I like when we're together, it's like we grew up that way. But like for some reason, I'm just feeling Meg vibes from you. Like this positive, awesome person.
They're amazing vibes, by the way.
Yeah. Thank
so,
you.
But I think that also like so not to take the conversation away from the album, but I wanted to touch a little bit on your relationship with your mom.
Sure.
What an incredible woman. What an incredible journey. Tell us.
Squatty potty.
Yeah. Tell us, which by the way, that's how we connected with your mom, right? At the time she was working at Squatty Potty, and we had the CEO at the time on the show, and he said, dude, you want an incredible story? You gotta have my employee Linda stay on your show. And we did.
Absolutely.
She left us in tears for an hour and a half. It was an incredible story. So I want you to talk about a little bit on how much of that journey has influenced your work and your life up until this point.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that meets my mom is immediately, she impresses upon people immediately. She's warm, she's accepting, she is just like this open, beautiful person. Growing up, we didn't always have, it's interesting because like my upbringing, I was an angry person. I was, you know, I was the angry lesbian that was like, this world that I see around me is like not even close to what I want it to be. And I think I was really angry, not only at her, but within my family structure of just like born into this religious, like, nut house. When can I get out? So my mom and I growing up, we were somewhat close, but there was a distance between us just because of my own like hard-headedness. And I didn't want to let her in. I didn't want to be close to her. And then when my brother came out, he beat us to the punch. So my older brother is gay, I'm gay. And my younger sister is, I don't want to speak for her, but she's married to a woman, she's pans. And so we started this trend of, we joke how we're so the gayest family. But
the gay bunch. Tyler,
yeah, the gay bunch. When Tyler came out, it was kind of like you could see this conflict that immediately she had with the leadership in the church. And I think when the moment that I was so impressed with my mom was just like, it maybe been a day of like crying and praying and da 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 da. And then she was just like, no, this is bullshit. I've got your back. I'm going to support you. And then it just began this beautiful journey of activism and her educating herself. And that created a really safe space for me to eventually, I think it was like a year and a half later, I came out. We've had an understanding and we got to like hash out a bunch of stuff from the past, you know, because things got to come up and there's opportunities to heal. So what I appreciate the most about my mom is that within our relationship, she's been open and loving and willing to create that safe space with me, even when I've wanted to push her away. Yeah. She's always kept, you know, that door open. And then through when I moved, I was in San Francisco for 8 years. And in 2015, I moved here because of health issues. She was diagnosed with breast cancer and it was super scary. And, you know, she's had health issues a large part of her life. And so I was just like, there's no way I need to be there. So I moved to St. George and began this whole journey of like getting to know her. And it was interesting. I thought like you have this idea of what it's going to be like when you go home to take care of your mom with cancer. You know, you have like these visions of like her telling you childhood stories and getting close and like, oh, da da da. And no, it was horrible. Like someone going through chemotherapy, they are like shells of people. And it was so hard to watch. But she fought every day and she battled and she is alive and well and doing so great today. So our relationship has just gotten stronger and stronger. And now we get to join forces in our advocacy. And that's really cool too, because we get to support each other. And not only does she advocate for LGBTQ rights, she works with the city, working with homelessness and trying to tackle those issues. But she's just a spectacular person. And I derive so much of my passion is from my mom. And I just like, I thank her to the end of days. Like I don't, in the early times, I was like, why am I so emotional? What have you done to me? You know, like, are you kidding me, mother? No. But the older I get and the more acceptance and knowledge that I gain about myself, it's just something that I truly, truly love about myself and my ability to express ourselves and to show our passions and to do that. So, she's like my biggest fan and so supportive. Yeah. So,
I'm constantly seeing videos that she posts online from some of your live gigs. She truly is. She's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to have a parent do what they're supposed to do when they bring their children into the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For your mother to say, I don't care about the beliefs that I was brought up on, this is my child, and there's nothing wrong with my child. And if your idea of love is that I have to, turn my back on my child, then maybe not.
But also,
at great expense of her own. Like, she lost relationships. She lost many relationships, her own immediate family. My grandma didn't talk to us for several years. It was something that was, very much in conflict, but again, just the right side of it, choosing. Right. And now, we laugh. We all laugh. Like, it's been, we laugh about how Mormony and weird mom used to be.
Well, also too, what's really kind of powerful, it's like sad to think about it, but a situation like your family, where it's like the Gaty Bunch, is that what we were calling it? And your mother, stepping back and saying, no, my kids are more important to me than this religion, can really spark a lot of change and a lot of conversation. And I hope, honestly, I'm not really religious as a person, but if people want to be religious, I want people to feel welcome no matter who they are. If you're a gay person and you want to be a part of the Mormon Church, I wish you felt welcome, but right now, it's not okay. And I think that conversations that we're having, conversations that your mom's having, but situations like yours are sparking that change.
Yeah. I feel that your story, your family story, should be a book, and that book should be turned into a screenplay, and it needs to be a movie. Because it would be an amazing movie.
Well, she's going to be famous, so this makes sense.
And just do little, sketches. About that one woman that was not a fucking asshole to her kids.
Seriously, Lifetime, if you're listening, or, the Hallmark Channel, this would be an amazing story to tell.
I think so.
It'd be
what
incredible.
What celebrity would play your mother?
Go.
Man, what celebrity would play my mom? Oh, I gotta think about that.
I think I have an idea of who would play you. I think Megan,
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Megan Mullally would be amazing playing you.
I can see that. Okay. Playing me?
Yes. I can totally see her playing you. But for your mom, that's a good question.
I haven't met her.
I know. I'm like, I've got like a vision of who it is, but I can't think of a name. And I'm normally like, I'm great with celebrity names.
Wait,
so
why is this not being shopped at a studio?
I'm just telling you, the story is...
I'm sorry. I'm
going to send you...
Called Netflix.
Elsie joined us recently. She's been a part of our show for the better part of the last year. But we're going back, we've been on the air for about almost 5 years now. We're going back,
Five years and 20 pounds.
Yeah, year one or year two when Linda came on.
30 for me, honey.
I'm going to send you the link that you would literally, you're probably going to end up on your couch just bawling your eyes out. And then just you go through a roller coaster of emotions. This woman is just incredible. She really is.
So is somebody going to call
family.
Netflix?
I'll call Netflix.
What are we doing?
I've got to do all that stuff, so I'll call Netflix. Yeah.
So
back to the album.
Yes.
Did you, I don't know if you wanted to, but your mom had mentioned, because clearly I was messaging your mom to get you on the show, right? Or she was messaging me to have you come on the show. But I don't know. Do you want to play something for us or do some spoken words? She said that you might want to.
Yeah, I would. I grabbed my guitar and my battery is dead, which is so dumb. So, but I'll throw down a poem.
She'll spoken the word.
All right. Well,
I'll speak of the word.
It's all right. Well, the stage is all yours.
Okay. Just in kind of what we were talking about, the Christian aspect and all of these things. This is a poem. I met a good friend who was a gay Christian, And I was like, those two things can't go together. And she's like, yes, they can. And we talked a lot about her perception of God. And as we, the more we talked, I realized it was completely different than mine. And I wanted to write about it. And I wanted to kind of touch on this idea of, you know, just the different types of gods. So this is called Cool Dad. Your God is like the cool dad, kicking ass at kick the can on a school night. My God is like my dad. He's got a headache. Be quiet or go outside. And I got a million reasons why he can't come out to play. And I know it hurts you to think of God this way. You went to church instead of pride. Who wouldn't want to be with their father on the day she could get married? Before you, I thought gay Christians were stupid and regressive. Spouting religious rescue tactics is less than impressive. Love is not a moral vice. How many heartaches will it take to convince? How many lost great loves lay captive in celibacy's bedchamber? How many poems stranded on the tips of tongues, unwilling to change pronouns? But you progressively wore into me. When my grandmother died, I asked you about heaven. You suggested we read a book called Heaven, and I marveled at your simplicity. And talking of God made me feel ticklish, less callous after years of disinterest, and we'd rant of false prophets until somebody pinched us, our skin dotted with bruises, like the string you tie on your finger, a knot to the thought your mind loses. And somewhere between tying strings and dodging sharp things, the fight I'd been picked up and left. But the phone still sits in its manger, awaiting to make amends. Phones are so forgiving. Egos are not. Egos are like bathing suits, hiding the prettier parts of the plot. And my skin is pruned in shame, so easily duped by suits casually dropping names. But I do remember when we would play night games. Warden on Jesus, Ali Ali Umkin free, Ali Ali Umkin free. So I'm buying a new suit to wear with pride at Christ's next pool party. When you take me by the hand, turn to your friend and say, Amanda, this is God. God, this is Amanda. And God will grin and say, you're it.
Wow. That was beautiful.
I'm powerful right now.
Thanks. That is on the album. That's track 4 on the album. So
cool.
And I put some piano to it.
That's incredible. And your ability to just emote the words that you're speaking. And when you think about the fact that it talks about, you know, a relationship or at least someone's perceived relationship with a higher power and how that influences the way they think, the way they act, the way they behave in public, the way they interact with other people, and putting that all together in words, it's just incredible. Mm-hmm. That's Thank amazing. You. That's truly amazing.
Appreciate it.
So out of all of the 10 tracks that you have here, which one is your favorite one to do and why?
Oh, I love Wastelands. I love to sing it. I love to jam out. When we do it live, like, I don't have a band, so I'll just grab, you know, musicians that are available in town. I'll be like, I got a show on the 16th. Who can come? And so it'll always kind of come a little bit different, but it seems like the musicians that I jam with, we always come up with some fun, like, funky version. You can throw some banjo, some violin, some nice electric guitar. So I like that one because I want to be I want to rock out. And some of my stuff is a little bit more subdued, a little more ballady. And then, of course, like the spoken word stuff. So I love Wastelands. It's one of my favorites. And then I have a song called Family Business that is like upbeat and fun. So I love that one too.
That's going to be the movie, Family Business.
Family Business. Yeah, that's the name of the movie.
We are in the business of loving our children.
Before we wrap this up, two quick things. I always ask this to everybody. Hopes and dreams for this album and your future for this album. And then, of course, where people can find it if they want to buy it.
Hopes and dreams for the album. I just want it to find the ears that it needs to find. I know that's a little bit out there, but I trust in that. I know that it's a debut album. I don't expect it to like put me on the map, but I'm just excited to keep progressing. So that is my hope for it, is that it propels me further and further along my music career path. I just want as many people to love it as they can. And then I want it to help people. I want the words to help people. So, and where you can get it. So on the 31st, it will be available on all of the digital streaming services. So Spotify, Apple, all of them. So if you subscribe to those, you can get it there. If you want, we can do we have our links page and you can pre-save it on Spotify. So then as soon as it drops, it'll go right into your library, which would be awesome. I'd appreciate a pre-save. Or you can pre-order it right now on Bandcamp. And if you go to Bandcamp and just search Amanda Barrick, then it'll pop up. And then eventually I'm working on my website, which is pretty dope right now, but I don't have it all set up for all the commerce stuff. But I'm getting there. Maybe tomorrow.
So if you want to do the pre-order, you can go to amandabarrick.bandcamp.com. You have the information there to access the album. It will be available July 31st, which is literally 14, 15 days away. Are you excited?
I'm beaming.
That's amazing.
I can see it.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
so
I know, right?
We'll make sure to also post this information on our website. And of course, with your permission, we would like to maybe feature a couple of the songs during our breaks. Would you be okay with that?
I would be honored.
We should also put you in contact with Jess Branis. She does the Drinks with Jess podcast, and she is blowing up. She's amazing. She's one of our, I don't know, not affiliate, but family podcast members. And she would, you guys would have a great conversation.
I agree.
I would love any and all connections and all that good stuff. And I will send you guys a Google link of the album so you can have access to it right now.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. That would be awesome. And like I said, we'll go through. And you're okay with us picking any of the songs on there?
It'll be Wastelands.
It'll be Wastelands.
It's going to be Wastelands. It's going to be Wastelands. You're going to dig Wastelands. You're going to like it. Yeah.
So, we would love to feature it on the show so people can hear it and listen to it and obviously revel and marvel in this amazing project.
And then go and buy it.
That's right.
And then go buy it. Yes. Thank you.
So, Amanda, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day and for creating such amazing work and joining us on today's episode. I see a lot of great things happening. You know, people who approach projects and do things with love and out of love always find success. And that's just the way it is. And so keep doing what you're doing. And if you have anything else happening, you know, I always say this to all of our guests. Once you're on Gay Talk, you're family. Make sure that you let us know. We'll be more than happy to sit around the table and talk about it again. And all that is left to say is, my dear, stay safe. And a lot of love to you and your entire family, because you guys are awesome.
Thank you so much. And so much love back at you. I appreciate this. I feel like I'm hanging out with friends.
That's exactly what it is.
I love it. Thank you so much. And thank you for doing what you do and providing this space to have these dialogues.
Yeah, for sure.
It's important. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Because you're in Utah, so you still got a lot of your day left.
I've got to figure out digital downloads.
Have a wonderful time. Thank you so much.
I will. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye,
honey.
Bye.
Well, ladies and gents, of course, that was Amanda Barrick. Her album is going to come out on the 31st, and we're going to put that information on the page for us.
And we're also going to forward her information to all of our guests so that they can get whatever it is that she's using, because her video and sound were amazing.
She was using Skype.
Really?
Yeah. That was Skype.
What are the rest of us doing?
And she's got the blur feature is actually a feature that's within Skype. You can use that. It's all available.
She looks super whimsical. Yeah. I loved it.
Right? It's like a little halo of glow. Yes. No, she is truly, wow. I was just like, when she read that, I was just like.
I love her energy.
I don't think you've ever met Meg before, but as Nick and I were saying.
I met Meg and her wife right before they moved.
Really?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
where the hell was that?
You were right there.
Yeah, Meg did a show with us right before they moved.
Right before they moved. Yeah, that's they both came in.
Oh, that's right, because Meg's wife was sitting behind you. Never mind. See, that's what happens when you drink. So,
you're so stupid.
It's the truth.
You're not wrong.
It's the truth. All right, so That was incredible. That was intense great. in a very incredible way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even get teary-eyed at all.
It's super awesome. Yeah. See, like so a reminder for some people, you know, if you're a new parent and you're questioning whether or not, you know, being gay is okay and you're listening to the show for the first time, this is what happens when you support your children and you love them unconditionally. They do amazing things. Mm-hmm. And so...
I love that story. You need to send me that link.
Oh, I'm going to send you Linda Stay's story.
I want to start a campaign because I feel... These are the kind of stories that kids need to see on TV.
Yeah, there needs to be a movie about Mama Dragons, like 100%.
Parents need to see what happens when they love their child unconditionally enough to say to any institution, you can go fuck yourself. That's my kid.
So you remember during the interview when she said her mother became an advocate?
Yeah.
She was advocating when Prop 8 came out in California. This was well before marriage equality. Oh, trust me when I tell you. I mean, she was a cancer survivor. She went through so much. Mm-hmm.
She was our first mama.
Yeah. She was our first mama.
I love this story.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even there.
Yeah. Trust me when I tell you, you need some tissue to listen to the episode. It was a very strong, heavy episode, but it was needed. That goes to show you what a parent should do. Mm-hmm. When you're struggling with something, you find your way. But in the end, love will always find a way. Love has to be the end. The ending.
In a lot of ways, too, I kind of feel like, because it was pretty early on.
Yeah.
I feel like it kind of, like that conversation with Linda kind of molded the show a little bit.
It shifted us.
Yeah, in a way. Direction.
So when you think about all that was happening right around that time, right? We had Pulse. Happened. We started doing Angels and Assholes. Oh, it was a very long time. So Pulse occurred 4 years ago. 4 years ago. Right? And so it's a very intense story. All right. Well, listen, why don't we start wrapping this up? So we've got a couple of more things that we need to go through. So I'm going to give you, do you want to do the gay talk term after he does Mama Kim's Minute?
Yeah.
Oh, she's got to find it. That's okay.
It's all in there.
That's okay. All right. So
I only meant because I had to put on my glasses, not that I didn't go.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Can you throw me my penguins real quick?
Oh. Of course.
I want to give a shout out to Mama Kim, who sent us some amazing gifts. And this right here, if you can see it, gay penguins. Penguins wrapped in a rainbow.
And you got unicorns.
Wrapped in a rainbow flag.
Like, I feel like you guys should go, like, right here. So, oh, wait.
And so it made my week.
Okay. Look at the little ponies. They're amazing little, like, cute little felt-like figurines. They're amazing.
I got a little felt unicorn because I mentioned it once, and she remembered that I loved it. And so she put it in the mail for me.
That's amazing. So I ended up getting a Yorkie. She created a Yorkie for me. She created Fitz. It's upstairs. Unfortunately, I can't show it to you, but it's gorgeous and amazing. Thank you so much. And now in honor of you, we're going to have Nick do our,
Mama Kim's Minute.
And so let me get the timer on for you, baby boy. And stopwatch, reset. Go!
All right, everybody. It's Mama Kim's Minute. So number one, Halle Berry turns down trans role and vows to be an ally. Number two, the Dutch are writing LGBTQ rights into their constitution. Number three, the 2020 GLAAD Media Award nominations are here. Number four, experimental drug treatment may have rid man of HIV, doctors say. Number five, House Democrats demand military and the ban on trans troops in light of Supreme Court decision. I don't know why that was hard for me to get through. Those were small words.
Yeah. Like, what happened? So, first and foremost, all of the links to these stories will be under the Mama Kim's section on our post tonight. So you can click on those and read those stories. But it is brought to my attention that Halle Berry didn't turn down the role. She was forced to not take that role. Is the rumor. She was told she can't do it.
Well,
which is a good thing, right? Because we want trans people to be represented by trans people in movies. Come on, Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a conversation we've been having for the better part of 4 years. Get with the fucking program. If you're going to do it right. Do it like Brian Murphy. You see, when you look at shows like Pose, that's how you're supposed to do it. So, Elsie, our Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
She remembered. She's not rusty anymore.
Give me time. I still have some time to screw things up. The term today is fork. To have your penis awkward reach a full erection in public. Yep. He's one of us. He started to fork when that QP showed up.
Ooh. Forky, forky, fork. Poke, poke, poke. All right. So, Nick.
All right. On this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
When? July 13th, 2009, where? New York. Opening of Letitia Green's murder trials. The trial lasts for 4 weeks, and Dwight D. Lee is found guilty of a hate crime in the murder of the 22-year-old transgender woman. He's the second person in the country to be convicted of a hate crime for killing a transgender person.
And sadly, this was in 2009. Here we are exactly 10, 11 years later, and we're still seeing black and brown trans women of color being murdered at a rate that is just incredibly alarming. And, you know, we really need to make changes in our penal code. To prosecute these people to the fullest extent of the law so that this could stop. It's very disturbing, yes, to say the least. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you all for joining us. Yes, you're going to do that one. You got it? Okay, she's going to do Chris. All right, so listen, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. Doing so gets you the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation, which we collect monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. So if you can, we love it. We appreciate it. Thank you. So, Elsie?
And next week, it is all about the dish, unless we book somebody last minute.
Of course.
Which is possible.
All right. And thank you, thank you, thank you to our guest, Amanda Barrick. You can pre-order her music today at amandabarrick.bandcamp.com. We'll put all those links on our post tonight.
That's right.
She was amazing. Thank you again. And thank you, Linda Stay, for making the connection. Oh. And don't forget, everybody... Get your discount for Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula that gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or on one subscription per person.
You don't need a prescription for it.
I just feel like we need to move that promotion up a little bit in the conversation, because now I just realize that it just makes me feel like all of our conversations end in shit.
Well,
right, like you got to clean it out and sort of kind of douche it out and get it clean and ready for you to go. Wah, wah, wah.
And that doesn't work when it's such a great show like today,
right?
Like sometimes we do need to flush. Like we're all like just emotionally just.
Discharged
and
like batteries, like dead batteries. Let it all go.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It just dawned on me. All right. Well, listen, Elsie.
Our show is available on.
Where are you going? You forgot something.
Oh, Linda said. Linda said that she loves us all so much. We love you too.
We love you too.
Absolutely, we do.
But we should probably do what?
Put a rubber on it.
All right, go for it.
Our show is. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, GayTalk 2.0, Instagram, GayTalk 2.0, Twitter, at GayTalk 20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, you can do so by contacting us on our website. Go to the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments. You can suggest topics. You can send hate mail. You can do all of that amazing stuff.
Mostly for Nick.
Seriously.
We mentioned Mariah Carey today. We might get one. Or you can submit a question for an individual host or a cast member. We want to thank you. You can also call us and leave us a voice message. We can answer any questions that you have there. The phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.